Though there are circumstances where elevation may be inevitable, it must never be perceived as such. The alternative is disastrous. The foregone conclusion bypasses the necessity of the theoretical. What is preordained can never be questioned. Thus, ossified tradition rules without the benefit of reason. In the worst cases, the errors it leads to are so far from identified and corrected that reality itself is misread, misrepresented, and denied. Elevation must therefore always have a clear reason. Its justice must be undeniable. Inevitability must only be perceived in retrospect. No principle is beyond the perception of envy. Consul Gallen demonstrated this. His ambition led him to see my elevation as manifesting the wrong sort of inevitability. He could only see with the eyes of a member of the old order on Macragge. His misunderstanding was thus itself inevitable. This perception is the spawning ground of schism and betrayal. Key, then, is the creation of a military culture where such perception is unthinkable. Such a culture goes beyond its warriors being able to see that elevation is based on merit. Rather, they take this fact as an unquestioned truth, as self-evident as the truth of the Imperium itself. Killerman, Essay on the Principles of Command, 8-17-23. Chapter 2. Elevation, Tradition, Theoreticals.
At least we were warned, Cyrus said. At least we know why we're here.
Hyrax grunted. Cyrus was right, but the mercy was a slight one. The shock was still real. The humiliation was just as sharp. He was spared being caught off guard during the ceremony, but he had had several hours for the injury to fester. His anger had developed layers and teeth. The warriors of the 13th Legion's 22nd chapter stood to attention, row upon row, in the vast landing bay of the strike cruiser Kavaskor. They were here to await the arrival of their new chapter master. The 10 captains of the Nemesis chapter formed an honor line before the bay doors. Hyrax, the longest serving, was at the center. Cyrus stood to his right. The captain of the 223rd was a veteran of almost as many battles, but he looked decades younger. His skin was tight around his skull, and his short hair was so pale it was almost translucent. On Hyrax's left was Latches, captain of the 1st Destroyer Company, who had succeeded Phalaris when he had been elevated to chapter master.
"Why is he doing this?" Cyrus asked.
His aquiline features were pinched in anger.
"Because it is his will," Hyrax said.
He did not want to talk about the elevation. The other captains were silent. He had not spoken with any of them since the announcement had reached the Kavaskor. The humiliation was too deep a wound. He did not trust his reactions. His anger might break out, and he was determined to salvage his honor at least. Klaxon sounded. The bay doors were about to open.
"Our new chapter master is here," Hyrax said.
It took him a moment to realize he had spoken aloud.
"It should be you," said Latches.
"I thought it was going to be," Hyrax thought.
This time he held his tongue. He disliked displays of hurt pride. He would not let his become a spectacle.
"It should be you," Cyrus echoed.
The bay doors rumbled open. The void shield held the atmosphere in as the Thunderhawk Massali spear entered the bay. Its retro exhaust nozzles blasted downwards as its main engines cut out. The gunship lowered itself to the deck on a cushion of flame. The rumble of its arrival still echoed as its forward assault ramp lowered. Hyrax braced himself for the ceremony. He gave in to his pride then. His face was still, and he was silent. His thoughts were a roar.
"It should be me."
He had held the thought away for hours. It had been at the root of his pain, yet he had forbidden himself to articulate it. It was too strong, though.
"It should have been me. I am proud. I am angry. But I am not wrong."
heavy footsteps from within the Thunderhawk. They would be those of Marius Gage, Hyrax thought. The chaptermaster Primus come to do the honors. Under protest? Hyrax wondered. He hoped so.
Gage knows damn well what an insult this is. Not just to me, but to the entire company.
Gage was Terran, after all. He understood. He had to. It was not Gage who first emerged from within the Thunderhawk's troop hold. It was Gilliman. Gage appeared a few steps behind him. They stopped at the base of the ramp. A ripple passed through the psyche of the company. Cirrus gasped. Hyrax's resentment became confused. He was no less angry. He had been furious since the briefing aboard the McCrag's Honor. But to keep his anger directed at Gilliman, that was impossible. Not when he stood there, his presence filling the bay. Hyrax was confused. The Primarch's actions enraged him, yet he could not look upon the Primarch with fury.
He is the greatest of us. All that we are comes from him.
And this too was true. Hyrax's memory of his first sight of Gilliman had the strength and vividness that came only with revelation, with epiphany. Hyrax had been fighting in the 13th Legion for decades when the Emperor found his lost son. Decades of victories, decades of glory, but decades, too, of an absence, perpetually felt if never understood. And then the day had come when Gilliman stood before the Legion, and the absence had vanished. Hyrax had experienced a completion that was individual and collective. He had gazed upon his leader and his father, and known himself to be an ultramarine. Gilliman towered over them all. His face was carved by war, his eyes sharpened by study. He was a living idol, fashioned into something that partook of the human while being greater than that state. Hyrax relived that moment every time he saw the Primarch. He had known that awe and gladness the day before on the McCrag's Honor. He knew them again now. So he did not know what to do with his anger. But it did not leave him.
"Legionaries of the 22nd chapter," Gilliman said, "you have suffered loss, and you have fought on."
Oh, that was true. Though not all of the 22nd had been permitted to fight as they knew how. For most of the campaign, the destroyers had remained on the ship. Gilliman had given Chapter Master Phalaris leave to send them against dug-in orcs on the barren moon of Agrigentum V, where we couldn't do any harm, Hyrax thought. The company as a whole had seen little action, relegated to reserve status. The bitter irony was that Phalaris had not been killed in the field. One of the orc vessels, its construction so crude, Hyrax wondered if the brutes even understood they were traversing the void, had slammed into the superstructure of the Kvaskor. The orc construct, more stone than metal, had disintegrated. The bridge of the strike cruiser had been gutted. It still had not been fully repaired. Command was spread across multiple secondary control centers across the ship. The casualties had been severe. Along with most of the mortal bridge officers, four captains had died. So had Phalaris. As senior captain, Hyrax had overseen the elevation of new captains. The interim command of the company had fallen to him. Phalaris had been senior captain himself before becoming chapter master. That mechanism for the passing of the mantle was a tradition in the 22nd. It had served the chapter well. The 22nd cohered. Its warriors had a sense of their chapter's distinct identity, and that point of pride helped sustain them during the frustration of inaction. Now the tradition was being broken. Violently.
"The strength of the 13th Legion," said Gilliman, "is the strength of each warrior, and the strength of every warrior. Our sum is a greater whole, one that depends on every individual yet transcends all of us, without exception." He paused, then repeated, "Without exception."
Gage's left eye twitched. A tiny gesture, and a fleeting one. Hyrax saw it. The Chapter Master Primus was startled.
"But you know as well as we do who the Chapter Master is.
So why are you surprised? What other meaning did you hear?
I have taught you my precepts, Gilliman continued. They continue to evolve, as they should. War is fluid. We must be two. The theoretical is worthless if it becomes a certainty. It must be tested. The practical is worthless if it is a ritual, unsupported by anything except the habit of use.
That was pointed, Hyrax thought. The Primarch was teaching the chapter right now. So why does this feel like a chastisement? Haven't there been enough of those of late?
Our legion is adaptable. It must always be so. This is the truth that undergirds the theoretical and the practical. We must embody what we believe, or those beliefs mean nothing. Empty cant will surely result in defeat, and it deserves no less.
Gilliman paused again. He swept his gaze over the assembled chapter. Hyrax felt the touch of those eyes. He sees us all. It should not be possible. Not so many thousands in a few seconds. Yet Hyrax had no doubt. He sees us. And he knows us.
But if he knows us, came the question, came the doubt. Why is he doing this? He just told you,
Hyrax answered himself.
This is why he has been speaking. He wants us to understand. I don't, though. I can't.
Legionaries of the 22nd, Gilliman said, you have a new chapter master.
More bootsteps now from within the gunship. Gilliman turned as the warrior appeared.
Chapter Master Elion Iasis, I welcome you to your new command.
Iasis's armor was resplendent, newly polished. Its hue reflected the lighting in the bay with the blue of indomitable purity. Hyrax stared at the new marking on his right pauldron, a winged skull, and the 22 of the chapter numeral. The iconography drove home the truth of the new state of things, even more forcefully than Gilliman's greeting. The die was cast. As one, every legionary saluted Iasis. He crashed his fist against his breastplate in return. Several long seconds of motionless silence passed. The necessary gestures had been accomplished. Hyrax looked at the tableau formed by Iasis, standing just forward of the assault ramp, flanked by the Primarch and the Chapter Master Primus. Iasis faced his captains. The ranks of the Battle Brothers completed the frame.
Behold the 22nd, Hyrax thought. The last moment of what we were has passed. The first moment of what we will become is about to begin. I wonder if I will recognize that form.
You look as unhappy as Hyrax, Gilliman said. Gage had been watching the Kavaskor recede as Masali's spear set course for the McCrag's honor. He turned away from the viewing block. Gilliman was looking at him with patient amusement. Gage did not share in the humor.
I'm worried, not unhappy, he said. Hyrax most definitely is unhappy, though, and he's not alone.
I know he is, and I didn't expect him to be.
Gilliman's eyes narrowed almost imperceptibly, but their focus became las precise. They bored through Gage's soul.
I know you don't expect me to change my mind.
Of course not.
But...
Gage hesitated. He had been debating with himself whether to bring the subject up or not. He had not known Gilliman had chosen Iasis as chapter master until embarking for the Kavaskor. He had guessed, but Gilliman had made it clear his own counsel was enough on this matter. It had not been Gage's place to intrude. Now he was inviting Gage's thoughts. Too late to make a difference, he thought. So to what purpose? Greater understanding, he decided. The Primarch always wanted to know more. His hunger for information was insatiable. Always more data before and after actions, always collating, always refining. Very well, then. Gage would tell him what he thought. There would be consequences attendant on the elevation of Iasis. If they could not be stopped, they should at least be discussed.
Have you considered the impact on the chapter of passing over Hyrax for Iasis?
What would make you think I haven't?
When Gage didn't answer at first, Gilliman said, "The fact that I made that decision at all?" Gage thought through his response. "The 22nd's character is non-standard, to put it mildly. I don't mean the composition of the units, though that was certainly part of its individuality. The 22nd was a patchwork of specialized companies. Destroyer squads were rare in the other chapters. Nemesis had two full companies. I mean in its sense of identity and its traditions. So did I. Go on, though, Marius. I'm listening. The proportion of Terrans is high compared to most of the chapters. It is less than it was, but its influence is strong. So it is. The Terrans are a minority there now, too, I believe. But they make up most of the officers. And even those originally from Ultramar have adopted their culture, rather than the other way around." Yes, Gage wondered why Gilliman was encouraging him to say what the Primarch already knew. He guessed that somehow he, not Gilliman, was the one who was meant to be acquiring new information, or new understanding, from the dialogue. "And?" said Gilliman. "The successor to a fallen chapter master has, until today, been the senior captain." "So it has." "A mechanism not unusual in the other chapters," Gage added.
"Very true.
You anticipate particular consequences."
"I do. Theoretical. This break with established practice will be perceived as a deliberate targeting of the 22nd.
"Precisely because the practice is so common elsewhere."
"Yes."
"Go on," Gilliman said.
"Iasis is not even a member of the 22nd. Never mind senior captain. Theoretical. His elevation will be perceived as an insult at best. Theoretical. Unhappiness with the mere fact of his command could lead to consequences on the battlefield."
Gilliman stirred.
"Clarify that, Chapter Master Primus."
"Reduced efficiency. Second-guessing up and down the chain of command."
He had not meant more than that. Anything worse was truly unthinkable, and beyond the wildest theoretical. Gilliman nodded.
"I won't dispute your reasoning. Those are possibilities."
"Then why?"
"Because all of your analysis is correct. The 22nd is distinct. It is more Terran in its character than the other chapters. It does have traditions of its own that have governed its internal functioning."
Gage was baffled. "Its effectiveness on the field has never been in doubt."
"No, it hasn't.
Yet." "I still don't understand."
"The culture of the 22nd has a strong Terran influence, and that influence is itself shaped by the destroyer companies." Gilliman had never made a secret of his distaste for destroyer tactics. Even so, he had never disbanded them.
"We haven't purged the destroyers from the Legion Tacticae."
"And I won't. At the same time, I see a necessity to reduce their influence."
"Nemesis," he said, and grimaced. "We are not the 12th Legion, Marius. To have an entire chapter adopting that name should give us pause. The Great Crusade is a force of enlightenment, liberation, and reclamation. I honor my father with creation, not destruction."
He gestured at the viewing block next to him, filled with the reflected light of Thoas.
"The extermination of the orcs is a means, not an end." "Nemesis. That is not a term of creation."
"Will you forbid the use of the name?"
Gilliman shook his head.
"That won't be necessary."
Gage began to see the strategy behind the elevation of Iasis.
"Theoretical. Short-term disruptions caused by the breaking of traditions may lead to longer-term stability after the period of readjustment."
Gilliman began to smile.
"Agreed."
"Practical. Appoint an outsider as leader. The necessary adaption will result in the desired change in culture."
"Yes," said Gilliman.
"The point isn't to alienate the 22nd. The point is to integrate it more fully into the wider culture of the Legion. The process is not a painless one."
"No," Gage thought. "It certainly isn't." He opened his mouth to speak again, then thought better of it.
Gilliman noticed. "You still unconvinced?"
He wasn't. The short term concerned him. He was worried about how prolonged that short term might be. He was worried about the immediate effect on the battlefield, and the longer-term consequences that might flow from that. Disturbing theoreticals spun out from the recent practical. What it comes down to, Marius, is I trust Captain Hyrax and his brothers perhaps more than they do themselves.
I see, Gage said, remaining non-committal. Then he changed his mind.
That is precisely what I'm worried about, he said. If they lack trust in themselves, what then?
Gilliman frowned. He looked at Gage as if he were speaking gibberish.
There is a difference, he said at last, between the theoretical and the nonsensical speculation.
Mobilization was only hours away. The armada had moved into its final disposition. The ships were ready to begin the drops. The orcs could measure their reign over Thoas in hours. Hyrax could feel the rising energy reaching across the void from vessel to vessel. The culmination of this war was approaching. He knew it, and he would be watching it from orbit. He pushed the thought back down. There were too many shards of anger rattling around in his head. He had to keep them contained. He was about to speak with his new chapter master. Phalaris's quarters had remained empty after his death. Hyrax was grateful for that. Despite the internal assumption across the 22nd that he would succeed Phalaris, propriety and tradition had dictated he not occupy those chambers until his elevation. He had been spared the humiliation of removing himself from the quarters. There was one shard of anger with which he did not have to contend. He was the first of the captains to meet with Iasis. The chapter master was respecting seniority. Hyrax had half expected he would meet with the Macragge-born Lobon first. When this did not occur, Hyrax was furious at his own pettiness. Lobon, meanwhile, was at least as angry as Cirrus over the elevation of Iasis. Hyrax stopped outside the iron doors to the chapter master's chambers. He knocked. The doors slid aside into the stone of the corridor wall. The study beyond was a space that was darker and heavier than Gilliman's compartment on the Macragge's Honor. The round crystal flex window on the void took up less than half of the far wall. The lumen strips along the walls where they met the high ceiling were subdued, giving the impression that the only light came from the orb above the desk. Iasis stood behind the desk. He smiled when Hyrax entered.
"Thank you for coming, Captain," he said.
Hyrax gave him a brisk nod.
"The honor is mine," he replied.
He didn't expect Iasis to believe that any more than he did. He did not, though, let his bitterness infect his tone. There would be no insubordination in anything he said, or in how he said it. Iasis's smile became pained.
"No," he said. "I really do think that the honor is mine."
He gestured to the iron and wood seat before him.
"Will you sit, Captain? I think we have a lot to discuss."
Hyrax nodded again and accepted the invitation. Iasis sat also. They faced each other across the desk. Hyrax had encountered Iasis a few times before, on the battlefield. The meetings had been brief. Hyrax had placed no importance on them then. He knew Iasis by reputation. Word had spread about the captain, who had made a point of fighting alongside every squad. Hyrax could see the potential strategic value of the policy. Deeper knowledge of the squad level could translate into a more effective deployment of the company as a whole. Today, though, he was not inclined to view Iasis's methods in the most favorable light.
"If you think you'll be able to curry favor that way in the 22nd chapter," he thought, "you'll find we're less impressed by such methods."
Iasis said,
"You expected to be where I am sitting?"
"I expect nothing except to serve."
Hyrax spoke with his jaw clenched tight. Iasis's eyes turned cold.
"I do not accept that answer," he said.
Hyrax glared at him. The chapter master was several decades younger than he was. How many more campaigns had Hyrax fought in? Dozens, at least. Iasis had not experienced the cataclysm of Osiris. He had not seen the destruction of a quarter of the fleet in a single battle.
"Your experience is shallow next to mine," he thought. "How dare you think you can command me?"
"He can because he is chapter master," he reminded himself. He mastered his temper.
"I should rephrase," he said. "I knew there was no certainty of my elevation.
There was the expectation, born of tradition.
So I understand. And you should understand that finding myself here was not what I expected. I did not seek this office, Captain Hyrax. I had no ambition to leave my company and my chapter and take the place I dare say was seen as destined for you.
I didn't think you had, Hyrax said.
That was the truth. He resented Iasis's presence, but he did not envy him his task.
Good. Then at least we have the beginnings of common ground on that point.
Optimist, Hyrax thought.
I am fully aware of the situation we find ourselves in. The appointment of a chapter master who has not served with the chapter is unusual enough.
Unique, I believe, said Hyrax.
And the nature of the 22nd makes the event doubly so.
Agreed.
I think we can also agree. The Primarch doesn't act on whims.
We can, Hyrax said.
His words sounded odd in his head. He wasn't sure if he believed them. Whether he did or not, either possibility was disturbing. If he admitted the truth of what Iasis said, then he needed to think carefully about the deeper implications of what Gilliman had chosen to do with the Nemesis chapter. The impact of the appointment would go far beyond questions of hurt pride and the tension created by the arrival of an outsider. Iasis shared none of the traditions of the 22nd. If he even knew of them, he would have no reason to follow them. He might well feel compelled not to. His command would be a wind of change through the chapter. If Gilliman had thought through the consequences, then Iasis, whether he knew it or not, was here to dismantle the chapter as it existed now, and had for its entire history. If Gilliman did not foresee what might come. Hyrax shut down that line of reasoning. It was absurd. It was dangerous. He believed it was possible for the Primarch to be mistaken. He did not believe Gilliman could be blind.
I think we understand each other so far, Iasis said. Let me clarify things a bit further. I am under no illusions about my command. I know it is not welcome. But I also know I was placed here for a reason, and you must know that I intend to carry out my duty. I respect the achievements of the 22nd, and I respect all its warriors. I would be respected in turn. But if I am not, I will have my authority respected, because of the place from which it derives.
Of course, Hyrax said.
We are agreed, then?
About what?
About what must be done. I accept the nature of the chapter's feelings towards me, but I will have discipline. It will be enforced, and its enforcement begins with the captains. With you, senior captain.
Hyrax kept silent and still until he mastered his temper.
I am as conscious of my duty as you are of yours, he said at last. I have given you no reason to see me as derelict.
You are insulted. Hyrax met and held Iasis's gaze. He said nothing. Iasis said,
I have no wish to injure your pride further.
The corner of Hyrax's left eye twitched slightly. The implied critique of his priorities stung. His temple throbbed with anger. But, Iasis continued, I believe it necessary to be abundantly, even excessively clear at this juncture. The 22nd has a storied history. It lost a great leader in Phalaris. I will do everything in my power to ensure a continuity of glory. To that end, I will need your help, Captain Hyrax.
Your orders will be followed, without question.
The words shouldn't need to be spoken at all. What did Iasis think? That the 22nd's legionaries were capable of insubordination?
Not overtly, he found himself thinking. But subtly. Unconsciously, perhaps. How many different ways might there be to undermine an unpopular officer?
Iasis nodded, apparently satisfied.
I believe you, he said, implicitly. I think, too, that we will have to speak again. Often. In greater depth.
I am at your disposal, Chapter Master.
He could think of few things he would enjoy less.
Thank you, Captain Hyrax.
Hyrax chose to take the words as the cue the meeting was over. He stood to go. Iasis looked as if he was about to say something more. He thought better of it and nodded to Hyrax. Hyrax strode from the chamber, his shoulders stiff with contained anger. The doors closed behind him with a metallic scrape and bang. His effort to hold in his rage narrowed his vision. He did not see Cirrus walking down the hall towards him. He was startled when the other captain stopped beside him.
"Well?" Cirrus asked. "What should I expect?"
Hyrax forced his attention back to the present, away from past humiliations and future injuries.
"Exactly what you think," he said.
Cirrus grimaced.
"He means to remake us in his image, then?"
"He will say it is the Primarch's image, no doubt."
A snort.
"He presumes a lot."
"Does he?"
"What do you mean?"
"His elevation can't be the result of a whim."
"No."
"Then the remaking is the Primarch's will."
Cirrus stared past Hyrax, his face thoughtful, his brow dark.
"A change of some kind clearly is," he admitted. "But not wholesale, surely."
He blinked, then looked at Hyrax.
"Do you think that's what Iasis plans?"
"Not consciously. I don't think he'll even realize all the ways he'll be changing our culture. He won't know that the traditions he's ignoring even exist."
"If he doesn't know about them," Cirrus said, more softly now, "there will be no reason for him to destroy them."
"What do you mean, if he doesn't know about them?"
"Our traditions are worth preserving, brother. Lobon agrees with me."
"Our traditions." Lobon of Macrag and Cirrus of Terra, speaking with one voice. They belong to the Nemesis chapter together. Their birth worlds were irrelevant. Wasn't this exactly what Gilliman wanted from the Ultramarines? Didn't he seek precisely a loyalty to the core that transcended the attachment to an individual world?
"We are what we should be," Hyrax thought. "Why would you change this?"
He agreed with Cirrus. Of course he did. The tradition should be preserved. Even so, the vehemence of Cirrus's tone, coupled with how quietly he was speaking, made Hyrax uneasy.
"What are you suggesting?" he asked.
Cirrus frowned, puzzled by Hyrax's caution. Then his eyes widened.
"What did you think?"
He sounded alarmed now. His voice was louder.
"I really don't know."
"I will follow our chapter master's orders implicitly."
"As will I."
"But I will resist the destruction of who we are."
"How?"
"We will find ways," Cirrus said. "We'll know the struggle when we encounter it."
"Resisting change may mean resisting Iasis. If it comes to that..."
"We won't let it."
Hyrax didn't trust Cirrus's confidence. It was blind. There was no way Cirrus could anticipate the nature of those struggles.
"Iasis may push hard."
"We'll convince him not to."
"Oh?"
"One way or another."
He held up a hand in anticipation of Hyrax's objection.
"I said I would never disobey his orders. You know I never would."
"Yes," Hyrax said. "I know that."
So what was Cirrus planning? Was he thinking of undermining Iasis somehow, working to make his command untenable so that Gilliman felt compelled to relieve him? Hyrax was torn. There was no common ground between him and Iasis. That was already obvious. Yet when he tried to imagine one way or another of pushing back against the chapter master, he recoiled.
"We have to find a way," he said, "of convincing the Primarch of the value of what we represent."
"A positive intervention, you think?"
Cirrus did not sound convinced. Hyrax sighed. His shoulders were stiff from the iron of his anger. He felt no warmth for the legionary on the other side of the iron doors. He hated even the distant hint of insubordination even more.
"Do you think he isn't suspicious of how we will respond to his leadership?" he asked.
"He's no idiot. I know that much from his reputation."
"Exactly."
He turned to go. "He's expecting you." Cirrus didn't move.
"Where are we, then?"
"We are captains of the 22nd, and we will prove what that means."
Hyrax walked away before Cirrus spoke again.
"A culture is a living thing," Gilliman told Gage.
They were aboard the McCrag's Honor once more. Gage had said nothing on the rest of the journey back. Gilliman decided to draw him out again. There was something else Gage needed to understand. The chapter master Primus's concerns over continuity and tradition made this an opportune moment. They were walking towards the bridge. The final preparations for the assault would begin in less than an hour. Gilliman turned off before they reached the main approach to the bridge, heading for his compartment once more. "A culture," he said, "is created by its constituent citizens. In turn, it shapes them. It has a reality that transcends the collection of individuals."
"Yes," said Gage.
"Yes? That's it. Am I boring you, Marius?"
"You're about to make a point," Gage said. "I'm letting you make it."
The Primarch grunted. "You are not subtle, Chapter Master Primus."
"I never claimed to be."
"Quite. So we grant the transcendence of a culture." He held up a finger. "A viable culture."
"Yes."
Gilliman felt the corner of his mouth twitch upwards. "The viable culture, then, takes on an importance that itself is superior to any one individual."
"Ah,"
Gage said, sounding disturbed. "Do you see where I'm heading?"
"I think I might."
They reached Gilliman's compartment. He led the way inside. "I have documents for you to read," he said.
"Why?"
Gilliman stopped at his desk. He turned around, slowly. "Because I wish you to," he said. Gage brought himself up short. He saluted.
"I misspoke," he said. "I did not mean..."
Gilliman waved away the apology. He turned to the desk. He picked up one of the data slates and took it to Gage. Before passing it to the legionary, he said, "Do you understand what I have been saying?"
"I think I do."
"The Imperium is such a culture. That intent lies at the heart of everything my father has done." Gage nodded, emphatically. On this point, he needed no convincing. "What he has done for the Imperium is what I am attempting to do for the 13th Legion."
"You have done it," Gage said.
"I haven't finished," said Gilliman. "The work is still in progress. The 22nd chapter, for example."
"But you aren't insisting on the uniformity of all chapters."
"No, I'm not. Total uniformity is not a characteristic of a culture. That is a feature of the machine. But consistency is something I demand. Consistency and coherence. The unexpected in war can be disastrous. Theoretical. Prepare for the destruction of an entire chapter or worse. Practical. Ensure any other chapter can take the place of the fallen one. There must be a continuity of expertise and tactics across the Legion."
"Agreed," said Gage.
"Theoretical. The cultural integrity of the Legion must and will surpass the presence of any constituent element. Any." He gave the data slate to Gage. "This is the practical."
Gage took the slate. He scanned the titles of the documents on the screen.
"This is a work in progress," Gilliman said. "I will continue to refine it. The essential principles, though, are there. You will, in due course, and in accordance with your judgment, share the contents with the other chapter masters."
Gage was still staring at the screen. He tapped one of the documents. As he read, his face turned grey.
"This contingency," he began.
His voice turned hoarse.
"None can be excluded," Gilliman said. "I would betray my mission if I did."
"But
the Ultramarines are more than any of us. They are more than me, too."
Gage shook his head.
"Oh? Did the 13th Legion not exist before my father found me?"
"Not truly," Gage said.
"We only thought we did. And now we know who we are." "You will always know," Gilliman finished for him. "I swear it." He smiled. "I have no intention of dying. I have far too much to do."
"No," said Gage. "No."
He held the slate at arm's length, as if it were diseased. "Every eventuality must be confronted," Gilliman told him. "To do otherwise is a betrayal." "Has the Emperor?"
The absurdity of the question almost made Gilliman laugh. Gage was more distressed than he had expected.
He waited for Gage to realize what he had just asked. At last, the Chapter Master Primus lowered his arm. He looked down at the slate. He said nothing. "The culture of the Ultramarines must be as much a living thing as the Imperium," Gilliman said. "It must be the bedrock of every legionary strength, and the lifeblood of every chapter, company, and squad."
"Do you understand what you're asking us to envision?" Gage asked.
Gilliman frowned. "I was under the impression I was trying to make you understand."
"Osiris," Gage said, "the losses we suffered there almost carved the heart out of the Legion."
"I know." Gage held up the data slate for a moment.
"What you contemplate here is infinitely worse than what happened on Septus 12. When Lord Commander Vosotha was killed by the Cybrids, the Legion was decapitated. How can those of us who were there even think of revisiting that trauma? And Vosotha was our leader, not our Primarch. We didn't know we had one then. As for our brothers who came after, they don't even have the knowledge of having survived Osiris to sustain them. We can't go back to that pain. We won't."
"That's right," Gilliman said. "You won't.
Why do you think I'm talking about our culture? Those documents are not thought games or exercises designed to torment you.
I can't pretend I will live forever. I will not be derelict in my duty to the Legion and to my father. I can't ensure my eternal existence. I will do everything in my power to ensure the Legion's. The Ultramarines will be forever. You are my sons. You are my essence. So is the Legion, and what animates it."
He swept his arm to take in the manuscripts and notes on the desk, and the volumes stacked and classified in the high bookcases on the walls adjoining the crystal flex.
"I live in these words. I live in the thoughts they embody. This is more than my legacy. This is me."
He took a step towards Gage.
"I will shape the Ultramarines into what they must be. Duty compels us all, Marius. And that is mine. My duty is the destiny of the Legion."
He paused. He tried to see the effect of his words on Gage. The Chapter Master Primus was nodding slowly, still grim of face. Good, Gilliman thought. He sees.
"What I am asking you to face is no different, in essence, from what I demanded today of Iasis and the 22nd. Iasis will correct the course of the chapter. He will make it a full partner in the culture of the Legion. And that," he said, pointing to the slate in Gage's hand, "is the guarantor of continuity."
Gage said,
"I won't fail you, Primarch. None of us will."
"I know you won't."
Once again, he thought. Good.
"Then let's bring the impact of our culture to the Greenskins."
Gage was a fraction of a second slow to begin to follow, as if his mind was somewhere back in the path of their conversation. Gilliman looked back. The old warrior's face was set, grim and determined. The shadow of an old grief hovered over him. The shadow of a future one seemed to stretch before him.